This sermon was downloaded from spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your mighty presence of your Spirit in this place. We give you all the praise and thanks for his blessing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's all be seated and let's put our hands together for powerful word. Someone sent me a message. She is solid. All right. Amen. All right, I'm taking a second afternoon session. Abby. That's what's written on the... That's what's written on the program. They say, but you are the one who wrote the program. Yes. All right, let's go to 1 Kings. Apostle Saeed spoke about this. I want to take off from there too. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 40 and 41. Yesterday I started talking about the search for water. Where the water, there is a prophetic dimension inside the Word of God. 1 Kings 18, 40 and 41. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Then verse 41. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. So I want to look at the sound there of an abundance of rain, the rain dimension of the waters of God. Isaiah 55 verse 1 to verse 8, and then I'll pray. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee not shall come unto thee, because the Lord thy God, for is the Holy One of Israel, he hath glorified thee. Then verse 6, it says, and this I want to look at today, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is yet near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. For your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then he says, for as the rain cometh down, so he says, we shall seek him, for our thoughts are not his thoughts, and our ways not his ways. So we shall seek him. And he says, the effect is, as the rain comes down from heaven and doesn't return, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, he says, so shall my word be. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, and I ask in the name of Jesus that you grant unto me utterance. I speak as your oracle by the ability the Holy Spirit supplies, that I might receive direction from your word this afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So it tells us that the prophet said, I heard the sound of an abundance of rain. I want to get into some technicalities here in our walk with God. And these are thoughts that I have wrestled with for years, thinking about it. And, you know, I mean, nobody really sat me down and taught me that way. But looking at my life, looking at the Word of God, and at the body of Christ, and saying that, and then looking into the Scriptures, and saying there's something here. So it says, the sound of the abundance of rain. And in order for that to happen, it says, call upon him while he is near, and seek him while he may yet be found. Now, where else do we have that said in Scripture? We have it in Psalm 32 from verse 1. Psalm 32. Blessed, and we're going to say this was what Paul taught in Romans chapter 4. In fact, let's go to Romans 4 verse 1. So you can see the New Testament parallel of this. All right, because some people, you must quote New Testament or else they will have a problem with you. All right. So what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? What did Abraham our father discover? Now, please let us understand something about these people. These people walked with God. They didn't have a pastor. Abraham had no church he was going to every Sunday. He didn't have any counselor in his life. How did these men come to know God's will for their lives? The Bible speaks in Romans chapter 5 and verse 14. Very distinct dispensation. There is a dispensation in Scripture that is called from Adam to Moses. That's a dispensation where the law was not in existence. In other words, God had never formally declared and written it down that I am happy if you do this and I will not be happy with you if you do that. Never. He had never come out to make his will, so to speak, known to man that way. From Adam to Moses. But in this dispensation, put Romans 5:14 there, it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Now, this was before the law, but we'll find out that when we go to the Hall of Faith, the individuals that occupied majority of the Hall of Faith were people that operated in this dispensation. In fact, when the law came, it seemed to have confused man as to what God really wanted from man. So we had Abel that offered a more excellent sacrifice. How did he know? We had, the Bible says, Enoch, that he walked with God. He had nobody telling him this is the way to walk with God. He walked with God. And the Bible says it pleased God. We had Abraham. How did he know in his heart that I need to get out of my father's house? How did he know? I will, let's think about this, and you take a risk. Your father's house, everything, and you say, you are living to a land that God will show you. Now, even if we look at it in the strictest sense of our New Testament interpretation, they didn't have the Holy Ghost in them. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay? You had a man like even Moses. All the miracles he did, there was no law in existence. In fact, Moses, when he got to, I just want to get into that. When he got to the bitter waters and he heard from heaven, and God said, cut the branch, put it there. God told him, he said, if you will tell them, if you keep my statutes, my judgments, none of this sickness you have on Egypt. By that time, the law wasn't there. In fact, when Jethro came to meet him, he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm the one who would sit down and I will teach to the nation of Israel the statutes, the judgments of God. The law wasn't there at that time. What was he teaching them? How did he know? How did they have that understanding, all right, of God? I mean, you had people like Isaac. I mean, even today, let me tell you this. If you have a nephew in your house who follows you out and becomes rich according to his association with you, and then there's strife, who is going to, even with the Holy Spirit as we have today, will make a decision and tell the nephew, take any land you want. And they won't call you a fool. Say, you. Take. And the boy stands up and says, this is the land I want. And Abraham says, take it. How did he know? And then he runs into trouble and you don't say, didn't I tell you? You risk again everybody that is in your house to go and deliver him. How did these men know these things? Isaac was there with the well, contention. Look, the standards of these people. I'm saying today we can't keep it with the flesh. I'm telling you that they change your wages 10 times and you don't resign. Somebody promises you after 7 years of working, you'll marry my daughter. It's on the wedding day they change the thing. As we say, they change it on you. When you get to say, what? This deceiver. And then you walk again for another 7 years. Oh God. Offense will have come long time. Listen, how many Christians would they say, we're going to pay you 500,000. When the salary comes, they give you 250,000. You say, well, there's a problem. Okay, no problem. There's no problem. Next month again. They say, we'll give you 500,000. They give you 200,000. And it is because of you that business is growing. And you remain. Let us understand the kind of people like Daniel. I said people won't touch it today. Your boss puts out an idol in the entrance of the organization. And every staff goes there. People say, is that where you're working? Yes. You go into that office. Your boss drank. He was drunk. And you are still saying that his dream is correct. Where did they get it from? How did they know, all right, God that way? Because there was, many of these people, there was no law. In fact, what this is saying is that even though we say we are no longer under the law, I still think the church still has a law mindset. Even when we preach, it's great, but there's still that mindset of that law. So how did these people know? There was one way they knew. So it tells us, let's look at Romans chapter 4 here, verse 1. I mean, Abraham walked in steps that we are still teaching. I hope you understand this. The steps of the faith of Abraham, we are still there, dissecting it, trying to do it. From faith seminar to faith seminar, from faith seminar, and these men walked without anybody teaching them. How did they arrive at it? Say Romans chapter 4 here, verse 1. What shall we say that Abraham, our father, pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Which means, what did they discover? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory before God. But not before God. For what said the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 4. It says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that walketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Then it tells us in verse 6, David also did that. Verse 6, quickly please. Even as David also describeth, in the sense that Abraham found something, David also talked about the same thing. He described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Verse 7, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is that man in whom the Lord will not impute sin. So, this is now a New Testament scripture. You've agreed now? You've agreed it's a New Testament. So let's go to Psalm 32. So it's a New Testament scripture. All right, Psalm 32 verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are what? Forgiven. That's what it was saying in Romans 4. Whose sin is what? Covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. He said, when I kept silent, now this is how they knew, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was what? Heavy. In other words, they felt a heaviness. Once they were out of position, God's hand rested on them and it was heavy. And they began to have a heaviness on the inside of them. No matter what was going on outside, Jesus was doing miracles. He said, my soul is heavy now unto death. He knew that, listen, positions are about to change. So you can't be in a place and everything is going well, but when God says there needs to be a shift, he just places his hand. And that hand brings heaviness on the inside of you. And he says this, and my moisture, say that, put it back up there. My moisture is turned to the drought of summer. So you can be walking when it's time, and we heard this, all right, today about the shift. How do you know? Because there's heaviness that comes in. You just know on the inside of yourself, Abraham just started having an unusual heaviness. And once that heaviness starts coming on the inside, they understood it. You see, because whatever the outer man has, the inner man has it. The outer man can see, the outer man has eyes. The inner man also has eyes. It's called, we open the eyes of your understanding. The outer man hears with the outer ear. The inner man also says, whosoever hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So there are inner ears. The outer man wears clothes, the inner man dresses up. It's called an ornament of. It says, put on Christ. It says, put on the armor of God. If you wear the armor of God, nobody sees you wearing armor. It's an inward thing. It talks about an ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. That is, all right, the jewelry you wear on the inner man. Are you following what I'm saying? The outer man tastes. The inner man tastes too. That's why it says, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. You're not eating him physically. So, the outer man can feel sorrowful when he hears something going wrong. Just like yesterday, after the great service, some people had to tell me that Liverpool lost 3-1. So, that's the outer man. That was sorrowful now today. So let me say this publicly, because somebody tweeted, I don't want to say church member, I said, Pastor, we have to buy you an Arsenal t-shirt. So, at me. Wrong, and I explain this. It means that you are out of position. So those people, once they understood God that way, once that happened, so when David was offering up the burnt offering, there was heaviness. He says, something is wrong with this thing we are doing. I'm still not getting joy from this. Something is not right about it. And then you go to God. And that's where. Now, when you are in that state, there are many things you can do. We'll see this. All right? And you can deal with it in many ways. All right? In fact, when there is sorrow inside the heart, there's a tendency for you to start eating too much. Are you following what I'm saying? When there is sorrow inside the heart, you know, you don't used to go for movies that much. You know what you're trying to get rid of that thing. There is sorrow inside the heart. You sleep more than you should be sleeping. If you are, look, I'm telling you, we're in the prophetic now. How do we know this? When the sorrow touched the disciples, they went to sleep. You sleep in the afternoon, you sleep in the morning, you don't be sleeping. It is heaviness in you that you are interpreting wrongly. Now, there's a season of response. If you don't respond in that season, then you just find some people shooting out. Entering into things. What happened? Are you following what I'm saying? Particularly if you are successful. Because if you are successful, you have enough on the outside to give you the effect that, you know, nobody's talking. Everything looks well. So you don't have to respond to that sorrow. And everybody around you, like Jesus, they were telling Jesus, everything is well, Peter, everybody. Because they were enjoying what's going on. Ah, they're becoming famous. So Jesus, what are you saying? You want to die at this point when we are just making it with you? You want to? Where are you going to? Which cross? For their own reasons and all of that. You understand what I'm saying? But that heaviness is just there. Now, you don't just make hasty decisions. Please understand this. I'm not saying to you, I've seen it now. I was heavy in this office. It's now time to resign. Immediately after, I'm resigning. That's not what we're saying. I'm trying to tell you that you don't even know what God is saying. But you have to press into Him to find out what He's saying. All right? And therefore, you have to go to Him. So let's quickly look at this in prayer. So it's God's hand. Now, let me just say something about God's hand. 1 Peter chapter 5, and that's why Jesus said, blessed are those that mourn, blessed are those that weep. It's a blessed time. All right? In fact, if you are just happy, happy, going happy, 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 without any heaviness, all right? That's the time you should think very well. Okay? I mean, Dr. Lester Sumrall said there were three major changes that he had in his ministry. He said, and he entered, he was writing about travel, he said, those are the three times I entered into a dimensions of groanings in the spirit. Because when you want to birth that thing, because you don't really know what to pray for as you ought, because the truth about the matter is that you don't know what it is. There is a heaviness, but the truth is you do not know what it is. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, humble yourself under the what? Mighty hand of God, that He may do what? Exalt you. Induces it. That means that hand is not exalting you at that time. The hand is holding you. That we have some business. And I'm telling you that there are many people here that the issue is that you just don't know how to respond to it. But if you go into the body of Christ, right, majority of people in the body of Christ have that dissatisfaction in their spirit. But the issue is that, and you can be preyed upon when you have that heaviness. That's why I like things that Pastor said, strong things she said. Strong, she's a woman. In fact, when she got into and said, I know there are stories about death, then I knew she knows matter. Because anybody that wants to teach, that's the same thing I said when I was going to start Destiny Helper. I said, listen to me, they're Destiny Helper. But the first thing I must tell you is that many people are running around with this thing and just saying stuff. And she said the same thing. Very sensitive to the spirit. In fact, look at verse 7. Look at what it says there. 1 Peter 5:6. Casting all your cares for him, for he cared for you. Verse 8. It says, be sober and vigilant during this time, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, he is walking about seeking whom he will devour. Because if you don't handle that thing properly, then you make mistakes there, and what happens? And first of them happen is, you have your season, the person next to you has his own season. They might have had the season of heaviness 6 months ago, they birthed something, so they are moving up. It is not your own season, because you haven't birthed what is inside you. You don't go and copy what they are doing. Are you following what I'm saying? And you're going to have that. And so there are three cardinal things, or I sins that can happen during that time. Number one, it tells us that in Jude chapter 1 and verse 11, and this is what Satan wants to do. It says, resist him. Don't allow him. The heaviness is not Satan. It's what he wants to push you into so he can devour you. Number one, he says there, woe to them who have gone in the way of Cain. In other words, the way of Cain is, your brother now has birth and he's doing stuff. That's not your own season yet. Now, understand it. Now, you start attacking Abel. Don't mind them. What are they doing? Don't mind them. What are they doing? Listen, first day I ever met Pastor Tony, I mean, I met him in school. But when we now met in ministry, I went to his schoolmate, he was having his mother's birthday. So he was there, he sat beside me, he said something, he said, how did you survive? This is what he told me. He said, how do you survive the years of obscurity with consistency? He said, how did you? He said, listen, you were preaching and nothing was happening. How did you survive the obscurity? And you don't start castigating other people. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm telling you, a classmate of mine came to see me. She came to see me, son, and said, she came with a poster. I said, listen, but on campus, you know, things were happening. Things are not happening now. She just came to see me from you know, Blues, and said, I was hearing somebody talk about something, and you just came to my mind that, you know, your church is not growing. Maybe you should come for the... And she said out of goodness of heart that things were not like this before. Are you following me? How do you not look at the poster and say, don't mind them? What are they saying? You useless people. Don't believe what that you are going the way of Cain. A few people survive it, or Satan pushes them into it. Because one person in the generation births it and moves up, and then the rest are saying, well, look. And then you go the way of Cain. Or you go the way of Korah, Datam and Abiram, which you go into rebellion. That's what he wants you to do. All right? Or just start rebelling to consider authority. And you begin to rebel and start, you know, and all of that. And he says, don't do that. Or go the way of Balaam. In other words, you start compromising your conviction for advantage. I used to tell people back then, I have been in a move of the Spirit. I know when there is a move of the Spirit. Don't tell me to act like there's a move. Are you from here? I remember when I had heaviness on campus, me and my friend will go out there. He's now in Kenneth Copeland, one of the intercessors of Kenneth Copeland ministry. We will stay there 5 a.m. We'll be praying, just two of us, praying. When the thing broke, I know how it happened. I just got up and said, I don't know how we entered it. I'm telling you, if I look at something like it back there, I say, wait, what are you crazy? I just decided inside my room, I am going to invite the Archbishop Idaho at the University of Lagos. Let's go. Where entered Okada Air landed. I didn't know, I just went. He just happened to be in his office at that time. You understand what I'm saying? And he just happened to be there. And as we got to the place there, I mean, I was so scared. What carried me there, I didn't know. I was so scared. And the truth about the matter was, I mean, when you're in the move of the Spirit, your lines fall into pleasant places. So there's when you are acting, and there's when there's a move. I mean, I got there, and a friend of mine just saw me. He said, where are you going to be? He said, be careful, though. The plane lands and goes on the tarmac. Sometimes they don't announce it. I said, are you serious? I said, yes. She said, so go outside back then. He said, you better go to the tarmac. True. The plane landed. Because I think Okada used for almost 8 times that time. They just turned around. I just saw, I said, which player? He said, it's Benin. Better enter. I quickly entered. From, that's how we landed. I said, and do you know when I got there? It was a 30-minute window. Because as I sat down there, just called long story short, he just said, everybody come in because I'm traveling now. We all came in. My heart was beating. I said, let everybody say their own, because how will I come and say I want to invite him to University of Lagos? Who gave me the audacity? As a young guy, he just said, where is the boy from Unilag? I crept out. He said, what are you looking for me for? I said, sir, I want to invite you to University of Lagos. He said, oh, they sent you from the university. It was 30th anniversary. Are you the one they sent because I was to speak? I said, no, it's not me. I'm not a dead organization. He said, what? I said, it's my campus fellowship. He said, campus fellowship. I said, yes. He looked at me. He said, when? I said, it's from April 8th to 13th. He said, I've been booked for the next years. He said, all right, call the secretary then and said, go and see whether the date is free. He said, then he turned around and said, but what do you believe? And just before I left, I suspected he would ask me what I believe. Because when I went to the bishop, he said, you want me to come to your church? I said, yeah. Your fellowship, yes. All his pastors told me impossible, he would never come. I said, I wanted to come. He said, so who will I speak with? I said, Reverend Miko. He said, you can get Reverend Miko. I said, yes, sir. So if you get Reverend Miko, I will come. But because myself and Reverend Miko were neighbors, I knew this wasn't about, I said, is he Reverend Miko? I will get him. So I went back to Ibadan. I said, Reverend, he laughed. He said, tell him I'm coming. So when I was going to that bishop, I suspected you asked me the same thing. So I had the photographs of that convention with bishop, everybody here. They said, so what do you believe? I said, this is what I believe, sir. Here's me and Dr. Tunu Choda. Here's me and Bishop David Oyedepo. Here's me and Reverend Miko. Just looked at it. He said, go and check. His calendar was booked for 2 years except April 8th to 13th. I said, there is a move of the spirits. There is acting. He turned around and said, how many days do you want before? My heart was big. It's of me to have said. I said, one day. Next time I was going to go for confirmation, final confirmation, I went again, same thing, Okada. I just saw him enter the plane too at the same time. So I told the elders, I said, I want to go and say, you go and say, just tell him, the boy from Unilag. He told me to go and meet him in front. So So when things are not working in church, and people say, let's do this, don't go the way of Balaam. Are you from there? He said, you will be in heaviness, Jesus. He said, you won't see me for a while. You'll be sorrowful and you'll be in heaviness. He said, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. He said, because you're going to deliver something in the spirit. So instead of going the way of Cain and criticizing people and getting angry, people will come and meet you. Someone that was very close. You go through things. Very close to me. She came to me and said, listen to me. Said, I have spent as long as I can spend with you here. I knew she was tired. He said, I have to go to a church. I need a prophet to take me to the next level. In other words, you can't take me. I understood. I had to say bye-bye. And then one of them came. I've said this before. Later on, she came for work back. After about 10 years, she told her cousin, who is a minister in church, she said, why did I ever leave this church? It's your season. God is, are you following me? If I one day I went to meet God, I said, God, what's going on? But I preached great messages. He said, if they followed you, you will have had a club, not a church. He said, everything must begin with a seed. So that thing is the hand of God. The devil is when you go the wrong way. You see, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. It wasn't the devil. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Then the devil came to tempt him. So what happens is that God places his hand, then the temptation starts. You see how the people rebel against spiritual authority? It's that hand. They are reacting to it. You start reacting. Now, so when you are there, when you are there, it is very important. This is very important if you will last there. 1 Peter 5, look at what it says, this verse 5. Look at what it says there. Likewise, younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, and be subject one another. Clothe yourself with them. For God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. In other words, it is very important during that time of heaviness and transition that you are connected to people who have gone through that path. Do you get what I'm saying here? Because they will tell you stories. And let me say this to you. There is no spiritual leader that tells their whole story on the pulpit. You have to come into private discussion with them and ask to a particular point before they turn around and tell you, don't do that. Because they can't say why they are saying it on the pulpit. They can only tell you in confidence. I've sat down with Jericho once in the office. We were going out, said, this thing I'm about to tell you is between you and me forever. Life-saving. That's why Moses, when he was going, carried Hobab. He said, we are not going on this journey without you. You are going to be eyes for us. In other words, when we're in any situation, we'll look at it through your eyes. You didn't give us the assignment. God gave us the assignment. Get this clear. God gave us. But when we get there, tell us how to encounter. Because you can get into those positions and start misbehaving. Which means you go the way of Cain, you go the way of this, and all of that. And you say, let's say, and all of that. And you start misbehaving. But somebody that has gone through those things and gone through, will just tell you that, listen, is this what God told you to do? All right, be calm in this particular place here. All right? Just be calm in this particular place here. They'll tell you. I mean, have you heard Pastor Luke Johnson preach? You've heard him preach? You know he speaks with Queen's English, eh? He really, you won't hear him speak Yoruba like that. The day he asked me about marriage long time ago, it's the first day I ever heard him speak Yoruba to me. In other words, he wanted to tell me something serious. He said, the rule is, she will not become in your house what she's not before you. She enters. And he told my majasham, kekere lo mati do sham sham. You can't make a person a minister who doesn't have the trace before. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is no conversion after marriage. They must be converted by God. If you think that love can convert somebody, you will be surprised. Do you get what I'm saying here? In fact, but well, let's just. So I was going to say something, but I don't want people. So, all right, Cain there. So Cain, you don't go that way. So there's that heaviness quickly. So you want to deal with it. Now, let me just say this here. When it speaks there about sin, there are two types of sin in the Bible. There is the conscious active sin. But there is what is called sins based on ignorance. Now, what he's referring to there is ignorance. In other words, the reason why God put his hand on you is that there is something else he has for you, or there's another way he wants you. There are thoughts and ways that you have no knowledge about. So he wants to gain your attention, so he just places his hand. And heaviness comes. Now he's saying, this is the time to seek me and let me teach you these things. This is the time to seek me and let me show you what these things are. This is the time to seek me, and that's where the door into that prophetic gets opened up. Because it's an individual. That's where you get to the place where he wants to open your eyes. All right? So you start seeing what he wants. So it's not. Now, in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 7, the Bible says, this is saying, it says the high priest went into the second one, the high priest alone, all right, once every year, not without blood that he offered for himself, all right, for himself, and for the what? Errors of the people. Now, priests used to offer daily sacrifice for sins, but the high priest went in once, and he used to go for what the scripture calls errors, This only two times in the Bible is the word eros used. So it's not talking about conscious transgression. Eros there means, all right, sins of ignorance, involuntary, all right, error, which means you don't even know you are making mistakes. Because you are now dealing with the holiest of all. And what the high priest used to go and do in the holiest of all was to deal with those things. I mean, when Israelites are doing things and they don't know anything about what they're doing. And that's the argument that, and this was that Job had with God. Job was arguing and said, I didn't do anything wrong. That's what he was arguing, that what did I do? I've done everything right. But actually, God was trying to tell him that, look, and it is our high priest that defends us from that kind of satanic attack. In other words, he covers for you even when you are not. So he's a merciful. That's why the Bible says, who can have compassion on what? The ignorant. In other words, you are ignorant of certain things. So he places his hand. Now, let me tell you this. Some of the most confident, quote-unquote, people and audacious people on this earth are the most ignorant people. Because they don't know, they speak powerfully. Do you get what I'm saying here? So they speak confident what I say. I mean, so I said, look, I said, my passion is weaker than knowledge. Do you get what I'm saying here? God forbid, if a person carries a child and goes to hospital, the most passionate person that wants the child to be well is the parent. The person who treats the child doesn't have as much passion, but knows what to do. Are you following what I'm saying here? The most passionate person is the parent. But doesn't know what to do. So you can't say, I will succeed in business because I'm passionate. Ah. Or someone says, we're going to battle now. And we're going with bows and arrows. And these people have sophisticated weapons. Say, we are passionate. They may not be passionate, but they just fire. They are eating like this, but they know how to do it. Fire, palm. You are coming passionately. Passion is overrated. The pilot may not want to go to Abuja, may not feel like going, but the pilot knows how to get there. You can really want to be in Abuja, you're about to miss a way, but they give you the plane. You don't know. Do you get what I'm saying here? Don't let your passion confuse you, that it translates to know-how. And the day I began to grow was the day I realized that the leader is the most passionate person for the growth of an organization, but is also the biggest hindrance to the growth of an organization. Finish. It is the leader who is doing self-sabotage. But because you think that I passionately want this to happen, it means translates to I know how to make it happen. So it says the eros there, and the word error means not to know. Act therefore foolishly. All right? So once you start growing there, and God begins to show you things you thought you knew that you didn't know, then you'll know that I was foolish 5 years ago. It's a shortcoming which is ignorance, involuntary error. Now, when the Bible therefore says God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's not willing that any should perish, but come to what? Repentance. Now, what's the repentance he's talking about? Because we say, I didn't know anything. All right, what's the repentance he's saying? Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Put it up. This is what he's saying. He says, the days of ignorance God has what? Winked at, but has now commanded all men to do what? To repent. Which means you need to repent of what you don't even know is wrong. So the first stage is that has to do what? Show you. That's why you start seeking his face. Okay? So, for example, as he said, God is moving him into crusades. And I'm telling you this the same way Peter held Jesus, that he can't go to the cross. I bet you on this. The day you move into something different from what people know you as, they will hold you. Somebody told me in England, he said, you stood your ground on Warwick. He said, you stood your ground. He said, we were calling Word of Faith. Once you started calling other people, he said, people started writing things. He said, you stood your ground. I said, you can't come and tell me that it's only people from, you can't say that. And you started bringing in different streams into the place. If you don't do that, but people will hold you to who you are. Nobody knew Jesus was to be high priest after the order of Melchizedek. People were planning on the ministry of Jesus. People had built shops to sell things when crowds gathered. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. People were building things around this ministry. Suddenly you say, you go. Go where? Where I'm going, you can't come. You can't come where? You get what I'm saying? I mean, if I told people 4 years ago that we'll run churches that I will not be there physically, they will tell you, you can't happen. You won't be where. I remember the first time I said it was here. I said I will preach here the next Sunday. I won't be here. I will preach in Lekki, and then I will come back the week after. One lady told me, said, Pastor, I said, what happened? Said, I made up my mind. When you preach in the Gomo, as you finish the next week, I am at Lekki. When you finish at Lekki, I'm back at Igom. You call it love, but they are holding you back from God's will. You know what happened? God caught her. First Sunday, she thought I'll be here. I went to Lekki. She now sat down and was watching the screen. At the end, she now told people, he said, now, next week, we are moving to Lekki. They said, why? He said, Pastor is going to Lekki. He said, Pastor is in Lekki. No, Pastor is not in Lekki. He was here now. They said, Pastor was in here. So what was I doing? We're looking at the screen. The screen? She herself told me, said, then I was delivered. Shortly after COVID came, then they said I was prophetic. You knew before. That's why, because suddenly people were now used to not seeing you. Are you following what I'm saying? But when God knew a long time ago COVID was coming, his hand will be heavy on you. Change some things. Do you get what I'm saying here? He will put his hand heavy. But not that you are doing anything wrong, but it is wrong in the sense of what is coming. Do you get what I'm saying here? He said, change some things. So when he was saying already, go online and all that, he said, change some things. So his hand just stays there because there are adjustments that he wants you. Now, if you don't respond to that, then this prophetic thing, and you'll be wondering that, how do people hear from heaven? How did they know? How did they hear? It's response to that. I mean, Obaj, he's going to speak. Why was it? Because I was heavy inside the place there. About tomorrow, I said, I was looking at the calendar. This thing is not another. So as I just came out here, I saw him. I said, that's the solution. And when I told him, the burden lifted. That's how it works. You understand something? So let me bring this to a close here. So he tells us, once he places this heaviness on the inside there, God says, now begin at this particular point, right, to seek my face concerning this. And you enter into the place, right, of prayer. And this is where the high priestly ministry of Jesus now kicks in. So you've been living for something, until there is perfect alignment, there will be heaviness. There will just be that heaviness. See, you can get people to lay hands on you, nothing will happen. Are you from here? You can even, until you deal with that heaviness within, by going to God in prayer, and you are not going to solve it. Now, let me put it this way, because I'll bring this to a close here. So, what you are ignorant of, he therefore has to come and now get that communication to you. And as you start praying, that's why it says, though you eat the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore. I start praying there and praying that, God, there is something I don't know that is keeping me away from the fulfillment of this dream that I have on the inside of me. So long as what is on the outside doesn't satisfy me, which means what is within me is still much more, then it means that the hindrance there, and it's nobody, it's you. All right, this person, it's you. Okay? Because even when you say this person didn't help me, it means you have looked at the wrong person. Are you from there? You've looked at the wrong person. Okay? You've looked at the wrong person. You have to understand, and that's why and people have to know this in spiritual things. Let me give this example. There was somebody who came to meet Brother Copeland back then and said, I want to report this. Okay, let me first tell you. First day I ever met Reverend Scott Webb, when he came to preach here, he said, enter the car with me, let's go. He said, I've seen you somewhere. I said, no, I've never met you before in my life. He said, I have seen you somewhere. I said, we've never met. Okay, finally, I realized that Kenneth Copeland has a conference he has beginning of the year for faith ministers around the world. Then I've been to two. So I said, that's why I saw you. He now told me, he said, something was going on and Kenneth Copeland had a prophecy for me. He called me and said, Reverend Scott, now his first private jet, I just want to understand, he sold it into Kenneth Copeland's life, his first private jet. He sold it. So I'm trying to say there is relationship. He said, he called him, he said, Reverend Scott, said yes. He said, I have a word from the Lord. Do you give me permission to say it to you? He said, do you authorize me? He said, I said, I authorize you. You don't just barge into people's lives anyhow. Look, listen, when people behave somehow, you know they are not honoring the heaviness in their hearts. Look, how do we know this? Look at Psalm 32 here. Let's just go on. He says, you will see that it's knowledge. All right, Psalm 32, verse 6. For this shall everyone pray in turn. All right, verse 8. He now says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me. Thou shalt compass me around with songs of deliverance. Look at verse 8. I will do what? Instruct thee. Which means, is that what's causing heaviness? I will teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with mine eye. Now look at the next verse. Be not as a horse or a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle, lest they come near you. In other words, these are people that are forward, that they say things that they shouldn't say. You wonder, why can't you don't talk like this? The reason is the heaviness inside their heart, they've not responded properly to it. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you go about it the way of the Spirit, you know how the way of the Spirit is. You understand, all right, how things are in the way of the Spirit. So, can you come and say he went somewhere? He said, and a pastor came to meet him and said to him, he said, sir, there's a man who is preaching error in this town. I'd like you to speak to it in this conference and correct it. And Copeland looked at him and said, that you told me I can no longer do it. If you wanted it done, you should have told God, and God will have spoken to me. Now you have contaminated the operation with the flesh. He said, I will not speak to it again. So, I mean, I see people. Let me not say that, okay. But, so, you know, I said, Now, God lays it on your heart. You're going to speak for this person one day. You got me, person. You are supposed to invite me to your conference. You've extended it by 15 years. Because that person, first of all, has to clear it in their mind. That is not what you said that is making them do it. So you have lengthened it until there's a reconfirmation. Are you following me? So let me just go. So he says, I will teach you. And then he begins to instruct you. Now, that teaching there is much deeper than just understanding there. You understand? I mean, when once they're opening up churches and we're going to be doing it the way we do it. In fact, there's some information I got, and this is why we say you get into waters. That I can't even know how I got the information. Very critical. And it showed clearly that if you do it this way and this way, you will fail. It will fail. All right? If you do it this way and this way, then this thing will succeed. But that kind of information, and you wonder how come some people have that kind of critical insight and some people don't. It's because God comes to everybody and puts his hand. And I don't know anybody in scripture that didn't call a personal fast to get rid of that kind of burden. He puts his hand and says, now let's see how you deal with this. And there you go. He says there's a time where I can be found. Once that heaviness is there. Now, if you keep pushing it, 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 you don't do anything about 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 it. Is that heaviness that was in Esau that he sold his birthright for a morsel of meat? And that's where the high priest comes in. And what he wants to do is to show you the things. You know, Derek Prince said this. He said, when I was young, I was always right in the Lord. When I started our ministry, I was always right. He said, when I got into midway, sometimes I was right, sometimes I was wrong. He said, now that I'm mature, I am always wrong. That means there's an uncertainty about any decision you want to make in yourself without you knowing clearly from God. There's nothing like, this is no-brainer. Let's do it. It's no-brainer. You sit down with people and they are brilliant. Let me say this and close it. I asked Pastor Adipo, I said, listen, if we start opening churches, who is likely to fail? The most brilliant person. Because the most brilliant person would depend on their intellect and not listen to God. And because you're throwing ideas, they're likely. Because God can't honor your brilliance. In fact, what you're saying is that you're smarter than. That's why he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. That's why there's heaviness. You think you are right, but you are not right. Dr. Roberts was preaching in a church for 12 years. There were 200. God told him, I called you to as a healing evangelist. All right? He was fasting, growing, oh God, man, grow this church. So I called as a healing evangelist. He said, I don't want to do it. He said, why? He said, because of the way healing evangelists behave. He said, all right, God, I put it to the test. There's a hall here in Tulsa. If you fill that building with people, 1,000-seater, then I know I'm called. He put out the thing, went to the building that day. There were people sitting outside. Oh, I forgot. Put the message translation, I'll end with it. Let me just read it to you. Message translation, I almost saw Romans chapter 4. Message translation, Romans chapter 4. This is what we're saying. Romans chapter 4. From verse 1, message translation. How do we fit what we know of Abraham, our first father in the faith, into this new way of looking at things? Verse 2. If Abraham, by what he did for God, got God to approve of him, he could certainly have taken the credit for it. But the story we are given is what story we are given is a God story, not an Abraham story. Verse 3. This is our part, this is the point. What we read in scripture is Abraham entered into what God was doing for him, and that was the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. When there's that heaviness, God says, there is something I have done for you. You are doing your own thing. And you are doing it your own way. And it always, all right, always seems to be right. There's a way that seems right to a man. The end thereof is what? Death. So the way that seems wrong, when they tell you it seems wrong, may just be the way that will lead you, all right, to life. Are you following me? That's why I don't start announcing. God called me to be, wait for the calling to come out. Because some people have, already, God called me. God called me. I don't think in my entire life I've ever said God called me to be a pastor. But the only reason why Bishop Oyedepo ordained me, he told me. He said, from the story surrounding you, you are running away. God was chasing you. Said from this story, God was chasing you. You are running away. So I had my pastor there, Pastor Louis Jones, tell me, he said, I never wanted to do church. I just wanted to have a Bible class. We'd just be teaching. But as I started teaching, the things just started going until God told me that. Are you from saying? You don't start intimidating people. You're at work. Why is the work not going well? Because God called me to ministry. Those God called, Jesus, didn't he go and meet them where they were? And say, follow me. You get what I'm saying? There's no need to be shouting, God called. If you are called, he will come and carry you where you are and bring you by himself into it. So don't define what before something is revealed by God. Just take that heaviness to him and start praying it through. And just stay there and just keep praying it. God, sending people into my life that will teach me and start praying. And when you pray that thing through, things just begin, all right, to break out. And what will happen is people will just come. This wife back today came as a result of the conference we were having back then in school. Somebody said to me, listen, I said, you get us. Of course, I knew that everybody, I knew inside my heart, because back then, everybody was coming to preach in the campus fellowship. So I knew that once we start Wabek, it's the same grace, that same anointing inside that thing. It will be a global event. You understand? So the heaviness inside just simply tells you that. It's not that you're consciously doing something wrong and you're insane. It just means that God has something for you. Are you following what I'm saying? So if you are supposed to be in Indonesia, they can be increasing your salary, but there will be no joy. Do you get what I'm saying? You will do everything. You will buy the new car as you are driving. Not that you will have accidents. That's not what we're saying. But as you are driving, there will be what? Heaviness. Now, it's when you don't respond to the heaviness that the tire starts busting. You get what I'm saying? That God looks and says, if you are not leaving, I will carry you out. All right? Then they carry you and say, we just need to reorganize this business. We are sacking you. And then they sack you. And God says, now we've gotten you out. And don't complain about the way they sacked you. Because they have a right. The matter is desperate. As someone said, if a house is on fire, if someone said, well, I didn't wake you up because you're now just tapping you gently. You know, I didn't want to be rude. You will say, and if house was on fire, and you are tapping me, all right? If they slap you and you jump up and you see fire,
You first want to be angry. You see the fire. Thank you very much. So as far as God is concerned, he sees the flood coming. He says, slap that chap. They slap you on the place here. Get out of this office here. Now you are saying, why did you slap me this way? Why did you, now the fire is still coming. Why did you slap me this way? That's what people do there. You understand what I'm saying? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, and by the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth, expand it within our consciousness, and let it take deep root in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you all, and we'll see you at 5:30, maybe it's like, we'll see you at 5 p.m., please. What will you be doing till 5:30? Huh? No, I know what I'm saying. 5 p.m. That's 1 hour. Huh? 20 minutes. Uh-huh. All right, then. God bless you. Because, Josie has to minister, Bishop Francois, okay. All right, then.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Visit spiritnerds.org to download more MP3 sermons of your favorite preachers. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com.